what I decided to do in light of the presentation tonight is look at the first idea, repentance, and, or true repentance and revival. So we decided to look up the word repentance in the book of Acts. And so repentance in the book of Acts, why would I go to the book of Acts? Well, it's partly because of this reason. You see, I'll pray first and then I'll read to you one of the ideas of why I have come to that idea of looking at the word repentance or repent in the book of Acts. I just went ahead and right-clicked on the actual Greek word repent and was able to find what the book of Acts says. And so we're going to go through that tonight, hopefully quickly, whereas I'll be able to give an opportunity for my dear brother Alan Davis to be able to also able to share. So I'm going to try to get through this quickly. That's why I'm going to be using the screen tonight, and we won't be taking our time to go through as many verses using our Bibles, whereas we'll just be reading them from the front here. So let's pray together to begin our series of meetings this weekend, and then I'll get into this message very rapidly. Why don't we bow our heads together? Father, thank you so much for giving us this opportunity whereby we can come together and we can worship you in spirit and in truth. I do ask that you would please bless us with your personal presence here. Thank you so much that we can have your spirit. Thank you that through the ministration of your Son and his omnipresent gift, we are in fellowship with you and your Son, as it says in 1 John chapter 1, verse 3. I ask you to continue to bless us also with the ministration of your angels. We do ask that they would be here to prepare our hearts to hear what it is that the Spirit is saying to the churches. I ask you wouldn't trust me with any words, but rather would be able to hear what it is that you're saying so that we can grow. We can be transformed into the image of your dear Son. That he again can live out his life on earth through us. I do pray that you would bless the words that we will be reading together and help us to understand. Thank you so much for this, and bless us to this end in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So one of the reasons I decided to read this is because I've read something not too long ago that goes something like this. Before the final visitation of God's judgments upon the earth, there will be among the people of the Lord such a revival of, can you say it with me, primitive godliness as has not been witnessed since apostolic times. The Spirit and power of God will be poured out upon his children. At that time, many will separate themselves from those churches in which the love of this world has supplanted the love for God and his word. Many, both of ministers and people, will gladly accept those great truths which God has caused to be proclaimed at this time to prepare a people for the Lord's second coming. Sounds like a promise to me.
Amen.
And I'm looking forward to that. I'm looking forward to being one of those many ministers that comes out and proclaims the truth. I'm looking for revival of primitive godliness that hasn't been witnessed since apostolic times. Where can we go to find out in the Bible about apostolic times? We go directly to the book of Acts. And so looking at repentance in the book of Acts has given me the ability to understand a little bit more what they were turning from and how they were able to come into a close and steady relationship with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So, as I said, I'm going to try to get through this quickly, so if you would like to go through your Bibles with me, that would be fine. We're going to be in Acts chapter 2, verse 36, but we are also going to be looking on the screen here. Acts chapter 2, verse 36. The Bible says, "Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus, whom you have crucified, both Lord and Christ." Now, I'm going to stop there for a moment and just think that through. We're talking about the people of God on the earth. It said the house of Israel. No, in fact, it said let all the house of Israel know. That's the people of God that were on the earth. And what did they do? They chose to reject the mediator that God had sent to be between himself and the fallen people on the earth. We know that as Jesus Christ. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5 says, "There is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus." And so the children of Israel, all of the house of Israel, have rejected and have crucified the mediator that God had sent. So, just right off the bat, I'd like to say it again, as I've said many times before, in the Bible we can see, historically, during the time Christ was on the earth, that God's people, as a general whole, had the right day, but the wrong God. And we know that they chose the wrong God because they rejected the mediator that God had sent, the man Christ Jesus. So I'm going to go back here now, Acts chapter 2, verse 37. Now, when they, that would be all the house of Israel, when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? And then Peter said unto them, Repent. That's the word we're looking at. That's the one I've searched. Repent. The very first time it's used in the book of Acts. Now, he didn't say one of many things he could have said. He said, repent. The very first words that came out of his mouth when they had asked, We have crucified the Lord, the mediator between God and men. What shall we do? The first word, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And so here we can see that Peter was pretty clear what they needed to do. We have rejected God's Son. We have crucified Him. What shall we do? Repent. What are they supposed to repent from? Repent from rejecting the mediator that God had sent to them. And as a result of rejecting the mediator that God had sent, they rejected the one true God. And they needed to repent from rejecting the mediator of the one true God. Or the only true God, as Jesus had said in John chapter 17, verse 3. Does that make sense according to the text?
Amen.
Okay. So now, we're going to go to another section. This is in Acts chapter 3, looking at verse 19. Again, the first words out of the mouth, Repent ye therefore, and be converted. So now, repentance comes before baptism, according to the last verse that we read. We're not to baptize people that have just accepted the Lord Jesus. In fact, there was a time where I was working as a missionary pastor, if you will, for just a three-week or two-week seminar over in Panama. And a friend of mine, Frank, he was doing a series of meetings as well at the same exact time in a different location. And so Frank, he is making an appeal for people to come forward the very first night of his meetings. And these people are coming forward by the droves. I mean, they are walking forward, and they're walking forward. And he's seeing a streamline of people coming from the back to his left. And he keeps preaching. He spoke the language. I didn't. I was being translated, but in a different location. But he was calling people. And as he's speaking the language, he's noticing all these folk come. And he says, man, in his mind, he was telling me later, there must be a very large group of people up here with how many people have come forward as a result of the preaching and the appeal. So as he's preaching, he turns to the left and he looks, and there's a huge crowd that are standing in a line now, and they're waiting because the deacons and the elders came up with those folk, and they are leading those people one by one to the back, around the edge, into the baptismal pool. And he, as a Seventh-day Adventist minister in a Seventh-day Adventist church in Panama, was just wondering, why in the world are they baptizing these people? They just came forward. They don't even know who we are, what we teach, what's going on. They don't even know Jesus. And of course, by the way some of them were dressed, you can tell they didn't know who Jesus was. They weren't dressed in the same kind of garb that Christ would have been dressed in. Let me just say that. In fact, I know this because he showed me pictures. And so after the meetings, he went to the pastor and he said, What's going on? You baptized these people and they just came forward. I mean, do you even know their names? He says, No, we don't know their names. Many of them won't even come back. We wanted to baptize them into the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and then God will take care of them. And he was just astonished. You know, we're not called to do that. Repent and be baptized. Well, here it says, Repent thee therefore and be converted. So repentance comes before conversion. Or at least with it, right? It's not something that's pulled away. According to the apostles, repent, be baptized. Repent, be converted. Could you say that conversion comes with repentance? Yeah, can you be converted without repentance? No, it doesn't make sense, right? So God is calling Peter to make it clear repentance is one of the very first things we're supposed to do. Repent from what? According to Acts chapter 2, repent from rejecting the one true God. And here in Acts chapter 3, repent and be converted that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord, and he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things, that God, or which God, hath spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. Interestingly, just another side note there, in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 10 and 11, it makes it clear that in the prophets of old, it was the Spirit of Christ that was giving them what to write. So what it's talking about here, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began, he is still preaching about Christ. It's the Spirit of Christ that was rejected, remember, according to the even the words of Christ, that all the way from righteous Abel until Zechariah, they had been rejected and killed. So now, according to this verse that we just read, what are we supposed to repent from? I have a question. Did it say we're supposed to repent from our nature? What do you think? It says right there in Acts chapter 3, verse 19, repent ye therefore and be converted that your sins may be blotted out. Repent from what? Your sins. So that your sins can be blotted out. What are sins? The Bible says it's transgression of the law. Right? So we're talking about repentance from our activities. The activities of rejecting the God's mediator, the one mediator between God and men. And then here we're supposed to be repenting and converted so that we can be severed from our sins. Our sins could be blotted out. And of course, that certainly comes with coming into relationship with that which God had spoken through the prophets, knowing, of course, that that was through the Spirit of Christ that was in them, as it says in 1 Peter 1. So now Acts 5, verse 27, by the way, for those that just came in, we're looking at what the book of Acts says about repentance, because our series is entitled True Repentance and Revival. So Acts chapter 5, verse 27. When they had brought them, that's the people that had brought the apostles, they set them before the council. Okay, let's reinterpret this for a second. When they brought the faithful minority, they set them before, could you say, the executive committee? Could you say the general conference, maybe? And the high priest asked them, saying, the high priest being maybe the president, saying, did not we straightly command you that you should not teach in this name? You know, the name of Jesus has caused trouble for thousands of years.
Amen.
Man, the apostles really got in trouble when they were preaching about Jesus. And the general conferences there gathered together and they said, you shouldn't teach in this name. We don't use his name like that. So, behold, you have filled all of Seventh-day Adventism, all of Jerusalem with your doctrine. And you intend to bring this man's blood upon us as though we rejected him and crucified him? Yeah, that's what's happened back then. And if I understand typology correctly, it's happening again today. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. I had a very influential person tell me not too long ago. He stood at my desk and he said, Daniel, you need to slow down with what you're saying, talking about God the way you are. And without even thinking it through, my mind told my mouth to say, dear brother, I'm listening to a higher authority. And I hope and pray that every one of us will do the same thing.
Amen.
So Peter is saying that we ought to obey God rather than men.
Amen.
These people were told that they are supposed to be quiet. And they said, no. God has told us through his word that we're supposed to teach the truth. And we ought to obey God rather than men. So, continuing on in that same thought, the God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you slew and hanged on a tree. You rejected the mediator that God had sent. Him hath God exalted, like it says in Hebrews 1, with his right hand to be a prince and a Savior, for to give repentance to Israel. To give what? To give repentance to Israel? I thought Israel was the called of God. I didn't know that they needed repentance. Did you read what that said? To give repentance to Israel. To give. You mean repentance is a gift? Yes. Repentance is a gift. How? Through the gift or the offering, the, as it says, donation of Christ. Through the omnipresent gift of His Spirit. Through that Spirit, we are able to be given the gift of repentance. And who's it for? For the children of Israel. To give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And it says in verse 32 of Acts 5, and we are His witnesses of these things, and so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey Him. And so again, in this context, Peter is making it very clear that there is repentance that's involved in our experience as Christians. Even Christians that are the called of God. Now Israel, were they prophesied as a people to be in the position that they were in? Absolutely. Were they God's called, organized people? Yes or no?
Yes.
Were they the called that God had sent prophets to and for? Yes or no? Were they the people that God had organized in such a way to carry the gospel to the world? Yes. Were they the people that as a whole had rejected the mediator that God had sent? Did they need repentance? Yes. And so if the typology fits, maybe we should wear it. Right? And I think I'm seeing more clearly in the book of, with all the Bible, but certainly in the book of Acts, some of the things that played out during that time are happening again even today. I remember when myself, along with some others, were challenged for our fairly new faith at the time, over there in Central California, the faith of who God is, the faith that God is the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ has given the omnipresent gift of His Spirit. There was a president that was there at the business meeting at our church, and he had said, and please don't say that this scenario is fulfilling prophecy. That really hurts. And man, I'll never forget that. I thought, hurts? I think we need to open our eyes. Amen. And realize that there's something happening today, not just in our little church there in Orosi, California, but all over the world this is going on.
Amen.
Man, I'm hearing about people that are alone in their faith. I'm hearing about people, like the other day I learned that there's potentially 5,000 people in Russia that believe this message that have just sprung up recently.
Amen.
I got a call from Oregon the other day where this woman says, man, our pastor had somebody preach about the Trinity at our church and it was such a poor message. I've never heard anything so bad. And she said, the reason being is there's a group that's reviving over there. It's starting with some of them, two of them are pastors' wives, and they're a little more reserved and they're a little more quiet about it, but these things are happening all over the world. I mean, I can go back and find emails that have just told from so many countries. I just got one recently from, I think it was Scotland. Awesome! Something's happening in Scotland. Pray for Scotland, right? So now, Acts chapter 8, we're going to go on this idea of repentance. When Simon, he saw, that was Simon Magus, the witch doctor there, Simon saw that through laying on of the apostles' hands, the Holy Ghost was given. He offered them money, saying, give me also this power, that on whomsoever I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Ghost. But Peter said unto him, thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart is not right in the sight of God. Verse 22 says, repent, therefore, of this thy wickedness. Can he repent of thoughts? Oh, yeah. Yes. He thought the wrong thing, and he needed to repent of his thoughts. Repent, therefore, of this thy wickedness, and pray God, if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. For I perceive that thou art in the gall of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity. Then answered Simon, and said, pray ye to the Lord for me, that none of these things which you have spoken come upon me. Amen. I wish there were more people that when the truth came to them, that they're actually in the wrong spirit, they've got the wrong focus, they've got the wrong understanding, they've got the wrong thoughts, all those things, that they would be like this man. They would say, "Whoa, pray for me, I need help. That's what I want." When I'm in the wrong, because I'm not right all the time, I know that. When I'm in the wrong, I want somebody to come to me and speak to me, and I want to be able to have the heart like this man. When they say repent, I want to say, "You know what, that's right, I need to. Thank you. Pray for me." So I think right here, Simon's a very good example to us all. In repentance. What about Acts 11? Notice as we read, "As I began to speak, the Holy Ghost fell on them, as on us at the beginning." This is, I think, Paul referring to the time where you go into the Gentiles. Might be Peter, I'm not sure, I don't recall. "Then remembered I the word of the Lord, how that he said, John indeed baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with" who? "The Holy Ghost." You know what's interesting? John baptized with physical water, but John said in the early portions of Matthew and also Luke, he said, "There comes somebody after me that will baptize you with fire and the Holy Spirit."
Amen.
Yes, amen. It's because Christ is the one that's going to baptize you with the Holy Spirit. John was baptizing with water, but who is the one that gives us the baptism of the Spirit? It's Christ.
Amen.
Christ does it. And so the message of John the Baptist, or I like to call him John the Seventh Day Adventist. He was a Sabbath keeper and he was waiting for the advent of the Lord. Was he not? Amen. Go to Mark chapter 6 and you can see in your Bible that he fulfills, in typology, the outcome of the Seventh Day Adventist group. The faithful minority. It's all there. Absolutely clear. And so, John the Seventh-day Adventist, he was a forerunner for Christ. And what did he do? He preached the fact that Christ is the one that gives you the Spirit.
Amen.
That's like the Laodicean message where it's Christ the one that's knocking on the door, right?
Amen.
So here we have in Acts chapter 11, the Holy Ghost is the one that's coming, and it's from Christ. Look at verse 17. "For as much then as God has given them the like gift as he did unto us who believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, what was I that I could withstand God?" When they heard these things, they held their peace and glorified God, saying, "Then God also to the," what's the next word? "Gentiles granted repentance unto life." Whoa, wait a minute. Are you saying that God gave the Holy Spirit and the truth to non-Seventh-day Adventists?
Yes.
That's what it says. Wow, do you know, when I was working in Secrets Unsealed, I was called by somebody, and this guy started challenging me. He said, "You know, you're saying a lot of good things. I like what this ministry is saying, but how many gods are there?" I said, "Well, there's three." I told you I was a tritheist, and that was my understanding. I believe there's in God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And I said, "Well, there's three." He says, "Where do you find that in the Bible?" And I was like, "Come on, 1 John chapter 5, verse 7, there's Matthew chapter 28, verse 19. You know, you give the regular Jesus when he was baptized, there was he on the earth, there was the Holy Spirit coming down in the form of a dove, and there was also the Father speaking from heaven." I mean, these are Trinitarian scriptures, right? That's what I was thinking. Now I completely understand differently. But he was like, "So what does the Bible mean when it says there's one God?" I was like, "Well, the three are one." He said, "But you said the three are three." I was like, "Yeah, but they're one." "Well, how do you mean that? What do you mean?" I'm trying to explain, and he's catching me, and he's totally tripping me up, and I was just like, I was getting mad as a Christian. "You can't challenge the Trinity like that. What's your problem?" Excuse me. And so I was kind of getting frustrated, and I didn't know how to respond. And so I said, "Well, you know, come on, it's like the law." And I started talking about the law, and I mentioned the Sabbath. And he goes, "No, I don't keep the Sabbath." And oh, man, that was like a target right on his chest. I was like, boom, you know, I just blasted him, because if you don't even know what the seventh day commandment is, if you don't understand the law, how could you understand the character of God? You don't even know the law of God. The law is a transcript of his character, correct? He was like, "Well, sure." I said, "Well, if you don't understand the law, how could you understand who he is? That's your problem." And he was like, "Oh, wow, you know, I guess so." And I kind of came onto him that way, and it worked. I got off the phone, and I remember being in the office there just thinking, who was this guy? Tell me that there's only one God, you know, that kind of thing. And God was preparing me for this, because I was really upset. that I didn't have good answers for this man on the phone. Later, he called me up again. This was like 2 months later. And he says, he's telling me about, yeah, you know, I've been studying the Sabbath and I really believe it's true and I want to keep the Sabbath. And the way you talked to me before, and I'm thinking, talked to you before? Well, who is this guy? And so I was like, wait a minute, are you the guy that called me about 2 months ago or so? And we were talking about God. He says, yeah, that's me. And so now I've got this victory. Now he understands who the seventh-day Sabbath, and he's wanting prayer to be able to get his job to work with his newfound faith, etc. And so I felt like I gained victory over this one, right? Helped this man understand that God is not just one, he was three. Well, so it ended up that not very long after that is when I started understanding God is not three. God is one. The only true God. And the only true God has a son. And the only true God has a son that has given the gift of his spirit. Amen. And so that's what I understand now better. So it's fascinating. Now, why was I telling you all this? Because there was something in this verse that drew me to that thought. Let me just read it again. For as much then as God has given them the like gift as he did unto us who believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, what was I that I could withstand God? When they heard these things, they held their peace and glorified God, saying, then hath God also to the Gentiles granted repentance unto life. I later learned that man, I don't remember what faith he was. I thought he was a Catholic. I don't recall. That was somebody else. I don't know what faith he was, but he wasn't a Seventh-day Adventist. My point was that God has given the truth about who he is to some people that are not in the Seventh-day Adventist faith. And that person challenged me. Another time, at the same place, Secrets Unsealed, I was given an email from what I understand to be a Catholic man, and he gave me so many scriptures about the Father and his Son, it really blew my mind. I don't think I have that email anymore, because I had it there at work when I worked there. But anyways, God is working through a lot of people, and I'm very thankful to be a part of the original Seventh-day Adventist group. Not saying that we should leave that faith, because that faith is what God raised up. I believe God raised up the Seventh-day Adventist Church originally. And I believe that message is still the one that's supposed to go to the world. And I believe that God has called you, every one of you in this room, to be able to understand and take that message to the world. And so I'm grateful to be here with you all. What about chapter 13, verse 24? When John had first preached before his coming, the baptism of repentance to all the people of Israel. So again, it's a baptism of repentance. That's what John was preaching. But remember, Jesus was coming after John, and he would not baptize you necessarily with water, but would baptize you with the gift of the Holy Ghost. And that includes also repentance, because remember, what was said in Acts chapter 5 is God gives the Holy Spirit to those that who? Or what? Obey him. So that means repentance. You turn from your sins. Those things that are contrary to God's revealed will, his law. Notice what it says in Acts chapter 17, verse 29. For as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone graven by art and man's device. And the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Repent from what? From misunderstanding the Godhead, not thinking that it's something like gold or silver or stone that you can make up into these idols that were around him at the Areopagus that he was standing at, but rather he was calling these people to not think that the Godhead is like something it's not, and to repent from those things. That's what this verse is saying. These people had a misunderstanding of who God was. They had a sign that said, to the unknown God. And Paul was helping them understand that they needed to repent from their misunderstanding of who God is. Now, this word Godhead, this word specifically appears two other times in the scripture. I'm going to read to you where it appears. It's in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. Notice what it says. According as his Godhead power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the Godhead nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Isn't that interesting? This is the only other two times that word Godhead is used. There are three times that the word Godhead is translated. Each of them are three different Greek words. They all have one thing in common. It's all, every one of them could be translated divinity. Okay? So here what we're seeing is that according to God's Godhead power, or his divine power, he has given us this knowledge, and we are to partake of his Godhead nature. Now, how would we know about that Godhead nature? Well, Christ, in Christ, was all the fullness of the Godhead. Right? Why? Because it pleased the Father that in him should all the fullness of that Godhead dwell. And so it was God's pleasure that in his Son all the fullness would dwell. And so we're supposed to know and understand the nature of God through Christ, and we are to partake of that same nature. In fallen human experience, with a fallen nature, we can partake of God's nature, the divine nature, the Godhead nature. Okay? That's what it is. It's his character, it's his mind, it's his divinity, it's all of those things that come together with your accepting the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and entering into the same thought processes as he would have you to. That's being one in the Spirit. Having those same thoughts, like if I were here on this earth and I make a choice, that choice, if I'm one with the Lord and his Father, it would be the same choice as if Christ were here in my shoes. Okay? We're one. We make the same decisions because I'm directed by him. And his directions come from his holy word. His word is spirit and his truth as well. So I fully believe that we can partake of this divine nature. We can enter into this experience that Christ had while he was here on the earth. That's why I love when I have that thought come to my head that the word became flesh and dwelt among us. I often say in my prayer, may the word become flesh again in me, in you. May we live out that life that Christ lived 2,000 years ago, again, still, by his Spirit, working its way out through us. Amen. Of course, we're not robots. We make our own decisions, but those decisions are directed by his Spirit. If we choose his Spirit, we will then fulfill his will. What about Acts chapter 19, verse 4? It says, then said Paul, John, he verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him. That is, on Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Yes. And so, when John, remember, was teaching, he said that Christ would come and he would baptize with the Holy Spirit. And so there's a direct connection with this baptism of repentance and this baptism with the Holy Spirit. It comes from Christ. The baptism of the Holy Spirit comes from Christ. If we miss that, if we do not understand that, then it's like taking the Godhead and believing that it's something that it's not. Okay? The truth about God. I'll say it that way better. And so I think right here, it's very clear that there's a baptism of repentance. And it, partly according to the book of Acts, it's repenting of the false understanding of who God is. Now, notice what it says in Matthew 3, verse 11. I was reading this earlier, or referring to it earlier. John said, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that comes after me, the one that we were just told in the book of Acts we're supposed to believe in, he is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Jesus is the one that does that. Jesus doesn't send you to somebody else to do it. Jesus does it. And so how do we get the gift of the Holy Spirit from Christ? Well, it's a gift from Christ. Matthew 28, verse 19. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. I don't know why I included this one here, except that when we're baptized into the family of God. I can just say that because the name Father and the name Son are familial terms. Is that correct? Mm-hmm. And so when you're baptized into the family of God. And so I could go into that for a lot, but I'm just going to skip it. It says here in John chapter 1, verse 33, I know him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, unto whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizes with the Holy Ghost. That helps explain the last verse there. So, when Christ is the one who received the Spirit of his Father at his baptism, remember, John was supposed to know that when the Spirit came upon him and remained on him, that's the one that will baptize with the Holy Ghost. So baptizing in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. The Son is the one that gives you the Holy Ghost. And so, of course, just go in your mind to the next verse, Matthew 28, verse 20, where it says, Jesus said unto them, Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. And so, of course, we know that he's with us because he's given us his Spirit. What about Acts chapter 20, verse 20? Peter is saying, Paul is saying, I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and taught you publicly and from house to house. Question. Have we used this verse many times when we're teaching the Sabbath truth? And we say, see, if Paul was here and he was able to say to those that he was leaving, I haven't kept back anything. I've taught you everything I know. Have we then said, if the Sabbath was changed from Saturday to Sunday, he would have had to have explained it right then, because it wouldn't have been something so far he would have explained yet. Right? You've heard that argument, haven't you?
Yeah.
Okay, same question. What about the Trinity? If the Trinity was something that Paul was trying to teach the early Christians, then how could we find it in his writings, in his thoughts, clearly, as he says it is here? I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks. Wait a minute, to the Jews, God's chosen people, and also to the Greeks? Repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, there's two that are there. Repentance toward God, that would be the Father, and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
So we have the Father and the Son there pictured again. What about Acts 26 and verse 19 and onward? Whereupon, O King Agrippa, Paul said, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision, but showed first unto them of Damascus, and at Jerusalem, and throughout all the coasts of Judea, and then to the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God and do works meet for repentance. Works meet for repentance. So there are works. Are there works not meet for repentance? We would call those sins, correct? And so they're supposed to repent, turning to God, and do things opposite. Turn around. So you're supposed to repent, do something opposite of the works that they were doing, which were sinful activities. Now, they're supposed to do works meet or fit for repentance. And it continues on in verse 21. For these causes, the Jews caught me in the temple and was about to kill me. Wait a minute. You would think the Gentiles were the ones that were supposed to try to kill Paul for preaching like that. But it wasn't the Gentiles. It was the Jews that tried to catch Paul. Verse 22. Having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day, witnessing both to small and great, saying none other things than those which the prophets and Moses did say should come, that Christ should suffer, and that he should be the first that should rise from the dead, and should show light unto the people and to the Gentiles. And so, light unto the people and to the Gentiles. So the people, of course, must be the Jews because they had mentioned them earlier, but also to the Gentiles. And so he's saying, listen, all I'm doing, Jews, is I'm teaching the things which the prophets and Moses, that they said would come. And as a result of saying the things that the prophets and Moses said would come, the Jews were trying to kill Paul. It doesn't seem like a Christian activity, does it? It doesn't seem like that's the way it should run down, but that's the way it's going to run down.
No sweet love, joy, and peace.
No sweet love, joy, and peace. Thank you. That would be taken from Early Writings, page 55. 54, it starts and then it ends on 55. And so what we've got there is this idea of repentance in the book of Acts. Repenting from a lot of different things. Not repenting from nature, as it says, though we do receive a new nature, we enter into this divine nature. But repentance from sin, from activities, from turning away from those things that are not meet for repentance, and doing those things that are meet for repentance. So I think it would be hard for me to look at the book of Acts, this apostolic ministry that was given to us in the record of the book of Acts, and find that we need to repent from anything other than our false thoughts and our false actions. And so it seems clear to me that God is calling us to this apostolic revival that I know will occur. It's going to happen. It is happening. People are being raised up around the world to be able to proclaim the truth about who God is and follow him in sync with what his son would be doing were he still here on the earth. And the reason why is I believe God is raising up his people, the last generation, to actually be the wheat ready for harvest. I believe it's happening. We've had our time in the wilderness and we're at the Jordan again. It's coming. One more thought here. This is from an incredible book if you have not read it. It's called The Desire of Ages. This is on page 664. The Savior was deeply anxious for his disciples to understand for what purpose his divinity was united to humanity. He came to the world to display the glory of God, that man might be uplifted by its restoring power. God, that would be the Father, was manifested in him, that he might be manifested in them. Jesus revealed no qualities and exercised no powers that men may not have through faith in him. His perfect humanity is that which all his followers may possess, if they will be in subjection to God as he was.
Amen.
That's repentance in our state. We turn from our sins and we end up in complete subjection to God as Christ was. That's what I believe God is calling me to be in my life. And I believe that's what God is calling you to be in your life as well. He's not taking anything negative from us. In fact, he's taking everything negative from us.
Yeah.
But what I mean is, he's not taking anything that should mean anything to us. That which is going to destroy us and our family, he wants to take away from us.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen!
No, keep my family close, keep them tight, keep them strong, keep them spiritual. The further we are from those things contrary to God's will, the better off we will be. But remember, we'll be like Paul, teaching the truth about what the prophets and Moses had written, and the Jews will seek to kill us too. Mm-hmm. It's coming, friends. It's going to be tough.
Amen.
It's tough now. There's a lot of challenges. But it's going to be ugly. And if we don't have this divine nature that we've talked about, that we can actually partake of, mm-hmm. we can have Christ in us, the hope of glory.
Amen.
We can be connected mind with mind. Then we will be prepared for whatever comes our way. And I want that in my life. What about you?
Amen.
Amen. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, I want to thank you so much that you've given us the book of Acts to look at tonight. The thoughts of repentance and the ways that the word was used. Help us to understand better what it was that was taught and understood by people like Paul, by people like Peter, by the others that were there as leaders in the apostolic times. So that we can know and understand what it is that the Spirit is saying to us, your church. I ask that you would help us to turn from the things that are contrary to your will, to accept your mind, to accept that divinity or that divine nature, that Godhead power that we're told about. So that we can have our will connected with yours and our will become omnipotent. I do pray that nothing will be able to withstand the ministration of your will, your Son, in our lives, that we'll be able to live out this life again on the earth, the life of your Son. As it says in that old hymn, live out thy life within me, O Jesus, King of Kings. May that be our experience. Please, Lord, give us true repentance and revival. We pray and thank you in Jesus' name.